sure to share the podcast on your favourite social media channels.
Eagle Wings Online Radio.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: Killing Time is Murdering Opportunities.
Don't worry now. Killing time is still murdering opportunities. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry about a thing now. God is in control. I see some conflict in this. Indeed, it is true that God is in control for those who trust in Him and rely on Him for guidance and direction. But that other thing does make me worry. A person in love will not just let time go by without speaking about the person, the job, or the situation they love. A Christian, so in love with the Lord, will take each and every opportunity to speak about the one who saved their life. Then, killing time is the opposite of this, because a Christian will take every opportunity to speak about this great love and not just kill some time.
Okay, but isn't that something that just happens so many times?
Personally, I hope that whenever it happens, it will be pointed out to me, because killing time is murdering opportunities. I'm in love with the Lord. I want to know more and more about Him, want to know more and more about His plan for my life. When it is nice weather, go outside and do some cleanup. Make it nice, because isn't that what God wants in your life too? Take in some of the sun's rays and vitamins from God. Your body is your house where your soul and spirit live. And when you are a Christian, when you have given your life to Christ, it is also the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, a holy temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 from the Amplified Bible reads, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary, of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own." 20. "You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His own. So then, honor God and bring glory to Him in your body." When there is some time to sit down, there can be time to read about God, or watch an uplifting movie, or listen to some great and godly music. Take some more time to pray. A Christian will always find a way to be closer to God. Even when you are at work, when you are not able to be with your loved ones, your spouse, fiancé, boyfriend or girlfriend, your children or other family, you can always, even when you are working, pray and talk to God. You can always be close to Him and be with Him. It has been many years since I saw that sign. Killing time is murdering opportunities. It is true, though. It also makes me think of the lessons we had last year on the Ten Commandments, where it was so clear that murder was a sin. If we are just hanging around, just killing time, we are truly being selfish and committing murder to something we should have been doing instead. Far-fetched? Yes, maybe. But truly be honest now. Think about it deeply for a week or so. Okay, let's say until it is Wednesday. When you walk down the street and there are two identical houses, but with one the yard is truly trashed, and through the windows you hear the TV blaring, the garbage bin is overflowing, and there is a lot of screaming. Then at the other house, the kids are playing outside. Mom is painting the picket fence, and Dad is sitting on the swing with a caramel macchiato reading the latest homemade Beautiful Digest. Okay. Maybe it was the other way around with Mom and Dad. Right, who would you walk to faster for a little chat, house one or two? I know which one I would walk to. There are several reasons why people might start killing time, and with that murder, the opportunities for them to move forward in life, limiting the chances to further themselves. One of them has to do with an enormous amount of times that they have been worrying about this and worrying about that, going on and on and on, and then at one moment in time, they just gave up on it. We have in the past year preached a lot about time management, hours of rest, hours of healing, hours for labor, hours for family time, hours for education, hours for exercise, and we can go on and on and on. But there is one of those things we have never preached in favor of, and that is time to worry. When we worry too much, we will stop finding solutions, and we will get to that point of stop. That point where there is no more progress, and indeed killing time becomes that time that we are killing our opportunities. So, with one of those great cards from freegoodwordcards.com, I say to you today, don't worry. Peter Enns wrote, "Worry is the devil's trick. It can make your body sick if you let it have its way. It will steal your joy away. Worry fills your mind with doubt and tells you things will not work out. A doubting heart cannot believe. A worried mind cannot receive, feed your faith. Take time to pray. Cast your cares on God each day. Worried thoughts make you distressed. But God is good. He wants you blessed." Peter Enns. So I am telling you today, one of the best medicines that God provides against murdering part of your future is to stop worrying. We open the Sunday service with the call to worship of Matthew 6, 25-26 from the Amplified Bible, and it reads, "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they?" There have been many groups, or rather throngs of people in the world population, who have interpreted a particular scripture to mean that they should let everything slide, believing, "I am more important to God than the birds, and He will take care of me." Indeed, you are more important than the birds of the air, but have you also carefully considered verse 25? This verse advises you not to focus primarily on these worldly concerns. It doesn't suggest that you should not care at all. Rather, it indicates that there are matters more significant than how you are perceived by neighbors, colleagues, or dinner guests. This scripture does not advocate for neglect or irresponsibility, nor does it encourage running around without proper attire. Instead, it counsels us to stop worrying excessively about these matters. You might say, "Okay, Pastor, I don't have all the possessions, the house and the car that you have." It's easy for you to say. You might be right, we are blessed with a good life, yet we still face our struggles. There was a time when we truly had nothing more than the clothes on our backs, uncertain of how to fuel our car or put food on the table. Worrying excessively can blind you to opportunities for change. It can lead to a state where you can't see the forest for the trees. So how do we navigate through this overwhelming forest, where we focus on minute details and lose sight of the bigger picture? If you are a Christian, even in moments of despair, you know the answer. To find our way, we must step back and ask the designer of the forest, God, to guide us from point A to point B. It begins with the realization that there is more happening in this world than just your worries. Consider the person whose child is hit by a car and needs hospital care, wondering how to afford the medical bills. Your worry might affect your health and even impact your child's healing process, but at least you still have your child. Think of the mother who lost her child in a car accident. She would give anything to have your worries. I know it's hard, but start today with, "In all you do, praise the Lord." God offers these words of encouragement in Proverbs 3, 4, 7 from the Amplified Bible we read. "So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil." And Matthew 6, 33-34, AMP, continues this theme. "But seek, aim at and strive after, first of all His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble." This teaches us to address today's issues. If you focus too much on tomorrow's problems, you'll neglect today's responsibilities. We must keep an eye on future challenges, but not let worry prevent us from addressing immediate needs. For example, not paying a bill today because of a potential bill next week may seem prudent, but it can lead to greater problems.
But how can you stop worrying?
It's a challenging task, and many Christians struggle with this worldly issue. When we say in the church, "Bring it to Jesus," it's not just a simple solution. It's a genuine call to action. But we also need to learn how to cast our cares upon Him, as King David did. He writes in Psalm 55:16, 18:22 from the Amplified Bible, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. He has redeemed my life in peace from the battle that was against me, so that none came near me, for they were many who strove with me. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail." Call upon the Lord as you would talk to a spouse or parent. God, our Heavenly Father, knows unconditional love. When overwhelmed with worries, trials, and temptations, we open doors for negative forces in our lives. It's common to fall asleep while praying for guidance, and often solutions come in dreams or sudden insights. Unload your burdens on Adonai, as Psalm 55:22 says. He will sustain you and never let the righteous be moved. Being a Christian is a 24/7 commitment, a constant striving for a righteous life. Jesus invites us to exchange our burdens for His, which are light and fitting. Matthew 11:28-30 CEB. John 16:33 CJJB reminds us that in union with Christ, we can find peace and overcome the world's challenges. We are capable of conquering, not because of our strength, but because Christ has already conquered the world. Philippians 4:4-8 CJB encourages us to rejoice in union with the Lord, to be reasonable and gentle, and to bring our requests to God with thanksgiving. This peace, surpassing all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Our longing for God is like that of lovers yearning for each other, as depicted in the Song of Solomon. This longing changes our perspective, helping us see the world as God intended. In Song of Solomon 5 from the Complete Jewish Bible, this deep love and desire for God is beautifully expressed. Song of Solomon 5. He, my sister, my bride, I have entered my garden. I am gathering my myrrh and my spices. I am eating my honeycomb along with my honey. I am drinking my wine as well as my milk. Chorus. Eat, friends, and drink until you are drunk with love. She. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Listen, I hear my darling knocking. He. Open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my flawless one. For my head is wet with dew, my hair with the moisture of the night. She. I've removed my coat. Must I put it back on? I've washed my feet. Must I dirty them again? The man I love put his hand through the hole by the door latch, and my heart began pounding at the thought of him. I got up to open for the man I love. My hands were dripping with myrrh. Pure myrrh ran off my fingers onto the handle of the bolt. I opened for my darling, but my darling had turned and gone. My heart had failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I called him, but he didn't answer. The watchmen roaming the city found me. They beat me. They wounded me. They took away my cloak, those guardians of the walls. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, that if you find the man I love, what are you to tell him? That I am sick with love. Chorus. How does the man you love differ from any other, you most beautiful of women? How does the man you love differ from any other that you should give us this charge? She. The man I love is radiant and ruddy. He stands out among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by running streams, bathed in milk and set just right. His cheeks are like beds of spices, like banks of fragrant herbs. His lips are like lilies dripping with sweet myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with beryl, his body polished ivory adorned with sapphires. His legs are like pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like the Lebanon, as imposing as the cedars. His words are sweetness itself. He is altogether desirable. This is my darling, and this is my friend, daughters of Yerushalayim. In conclusion, as Christians, we should not waste time or opportunities to be closer to the one we love. By taking up his yoke, we find strength and guidance. Share My Yoke by Joy Webb encapsulates this sentiment, reminding us to share our burdens with Christ and find peace in his presence. Share My Yoke by Joy Webb. When I'm tired and nothing's going right for me, when things I've counted on just do not come my way, when in my mind the thick grey folds of doubt arise, it's then I seem to hear him say, "Share my yoke and find that I am joined with you. Your slightest movement I shall feel and be there too. Share my yoke and come the way that I must go. In our togetherness, my peace you'll know. The world beholding us will see it so. When I'm perplexed and no one's understanding me, when even safest thoughts collapse in disarray, when I've lost the things that always seem so sure, it's then I need to hear him say, Amen."
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.